560.
Hector is your first caller.
And, gosh, Hector, thanks very much for saving us
on
this deal.
Bailing us out.
Hector, good morning to you, buddy. How can we help you?
How you doing? I have an air conditioning issue. The air conditioning light turns on. The hoses inside the car, the metal hoses, get cold, but the blower doesn't blow anything out. And I'm at a loss. My father told me to change fuses, but I honestly don't know, because I took off the fuse cover, but, you know, it has little snowflakes to tell you which ones the fuses, but I don't know how to test the fuses either.
Okay. All right, well, let me ask you a question. You turn on the air conditioning, and then you can go from low to high on your fan speed, yes?
Yes.
Okay. When you go from low to high, you don't hear anything at all?
Nothing at all.
Okay, fair enough. What kind of vehicle are we talking about?
It's a 2002 Honda Civic, and, when it turned on slightly a couple of times, but then the power just slowly turned off.
So
since then it hasn't worked.
At the front counter, typically, we get this a lot because people will come in and say their air conditioning doesn't work, so we have to differentiate between, is it not blowing cold or is the volume of air not there? So it sounds like for him, the AC is cold, but the volume of air is not there. Is that correct?
Yes, there's nothing blowing out.
Okay,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's perfect. You see, that's the kind of conversation your shop should have with you. And that's why I ask him from low to high, no noise. Okay, are you near the car?
Yes, I can get
okay. Go out, walk out there to the car. We'll see if we can fix this for him right now. Hey, I need you to take a hammer or something, a piece of wood or something kind of heavy.
Okay.
Or a big wrench, and you're going to go out there. And I'm pretty sure that underneath the passenger side, now we're going to start the car up, and we're going to turn on the air conditioning, and we're going to put it on fan speed 3. Okay?
Okay.
Let me know when you got there. And if I can fix this, this is really going to be great, isn't it?
It still might be a temporary fix. Just saying. Yeah.
I have fixed cars like this over the air before.
I think I do remember a window where you banged on
exactly.
The door. But
yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
So tell me when you're ready.
Okay. I started the car and put it on the fan speed 3.
Okay. Now, I want you to go over to the passenger side. I want you to open up the door, and I want you to look underneath the passenger side dashboard. And I'm looking for a round tomato can kind of looking thing that's the blower motor. And I want you to hit that with whatever you got in your hand.
How hard?
Well, not hard enough to break a glass,
okay.
But hard enough to – and not
a
hard
good,
enough
a
to
– A good tap.
A good tap, not hard enough to dent it.
Yeah, I know there's a cover over it, so –
That's okay. We'll take it. Just hit the cover.
Okay.
Just hit the cover. And we want the fan speed to all of a sudden come up.
Well,
that's plenty hard enough. We can hear you in all the way to Sun City. We can hear you on that.
Well, I mean, it sounds like he's got a blower motor issue, right?
Well, one or the other. The
or
reason
a
I
resistor?
Well, could be. That's why I had him move to fan speed 3.
Mm-hmm.
High speed typically is on a completely different, or actually, 1 through 3 is on the resistor, and high speed is on a separate one.
Oh, gotcha.
So, Hector, I want you to go to high speed now and do the same thing.
Okay.
And Hector, it's going to be either the fan switch or it's going to be the blower motor. One of those two things. And the blower motor has a couple of brushes on the armature, and when it wears out, then when we tap it with the handle of a hammer, all of a sudden the blower motor starts working, and we go, okay. Is this, well, I, if you want, I can have U-Haul bring a jackhammer over there. His wife's going, what are you doing?
She said, who are you getting this crazy advice from?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Hector, we're going to stop, but here's what I want you to do is I want you to take that cover off. You see a couple of screws that are usually little bitty screws, quarter-inch screws, 9/32 screws, something like that. And if you could...
Yeah, it popped right off. I got it off.
Okay. Do you see the blower motor? It should have like 4 or 5 screws that screw it into a big housing.
Yes, I see it right here.
Okay. So that's what I kind of want you to gently strike to see if we can get it to all of a sudden work. And so you can try it on speed
3. Still nothing.
Okay. And we try it on 3 and 4, right?
Yeah, nothing's happening.
Okay. All right. It's entirely possible the switch is bad, and if that's the case, you can probably get in there and kind of manhandle the switch. I don't want you to break it. I want you to push the switch in and then twist it low and high, and I want you to kind of put the palm of your hand on it, twist low and high, take your fingers and kind of roughhouse the switch a little bit, and if you get the blower to intermittently blow, then the switch is bad. But almost always when the switch is bad, it's because the electricity created or needed by the blower is excessive. So the battery provides the switch power, then the switch provides the blower motor power, and if the blower motor is shorted or taking a lot of amps, then the switch takes a beating as well. So if you pull the switch off and it's burnt, you got to replace the blower motor at the same time. Okay?
Oh, wow, okay. Well, I guess my best bet, you know, I'll go to your website, look for the good little shop that's nearby, so I can, I guess, have them diagnose it. Maybe I can fix it from there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Depending on how long it's been sitting, you might wait an hour and then try it again. You're going to try it on speed 3 and speed 4. Another thing is if it does start working, then I want you to very carefully move it up a speed or down a speed and see if you can still have the speed. Any information you can give the shop is going to save you money on the diagnostic side. Okay?
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, Hector. Good luck.
So Mick is your next caller, Mick.
Mick, good morning to you. How can I help you this morning?
Another air conditioning problem.
Okay.
So if you can help it out, I'll be greatly surprised.
Okay.
But I've got a 1996 Dodge Ram 3500 van, and it's got a motorhome on it.
Okay.
And so it's Class B motorhome.
Okay.
And the air conditioning, when I use it, before I switched out the check valve, it would hesitate or cut off on an uphill grade.
Okay. What do you mean the check valve?
Well, the vacuum check valve.
Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I replaced that.
Okay.
And I drove out this week, and I went up past Canyon City, Black Canyon City there, and that's a pretty good hill. And it did not cut out then, but when I was coming back, it seems like when I was switched the fan back below high, then it would sometimes it would like stop cooling or would cycle, it seemed like.
Okay.
And then I would flip it up to high and it would start cooling again.
Okay. Hmm. Well, the real question is do we have a cooling system problem, or do we have a blower motor problem, or do we have an air placement problem? Because the check valve, what that does is it holds vacuum in the system. So on your motorhome, Mark, I'm driving around flat ground all the time and it blows through the center vents just like it should. But I'm climbing a hill, and when I have to throttle up and really work this motor hard, then all of a sudden the air conditioning quits blowing out of the center vents.
No, it quits blowing out of any vent.
Okay, all right. And are you sure that you put your hands up on the dashboard to feel the air coming out of there?
Yes.
So the defrost vents, you're not getting any air?
No, I didn't check on the default.
Okay, because that's the default. The default is the defrost. So when we have a collapse of the system, almost always you'll get air out of the defrost vents up at the bottom of the windshield.
Now, no, I get air out of the center vents, but it's just not cold.
Okay.
All right. So you always get air out of the center vents, but intermittently it's hot, intermittently it's cold.
Right.
Okay. That's a whole different thing.
I think prior to the check valve, he was having that it was cutting out, basically losing vacuum
going on and
going on and off. Yeah. But now he's having a problem with it blowing cold sometimes and hot sometimes.
Okay. Fair enough. The check valve threw me in a completely wrong direction.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in your particular case, if it's sometimes cold and sometimes hot, the low pressure switch is turning off the air compressor because the Freon level's low. the last thing I want you to do is go to the auto parts store and buy this can of Freon that has sealer in it and try to charge your own system, because you're going to mess up your system. And then when you take your car to the shop, they're going to check it for contamination. They're going to find contamination, and nobody's going to help you, because you have now put stop leak inside your system, and it eats up our machines. So not too long ago, a repair shop sued the customer because their car had sealer in it, and their car damaged their $5,000 air conditioning unit. And in reality, the insurance company, I understand, paid for that. The insurance company of the person with the car, mm-hmm. because their car damaged the equipment.
Yeah.
So in your particular case, this is what you need. Mick, you need to call around to your shops and you say to them, do you have the ability to suck out my refrigerant, clean it up, and then determine what I'm supposed to have, and then put my refrigerant back in, and then top it off. So we suck your system out just for stupid numbers. We suck your Freon out, and it has 20 ounces, but we know it needs 30. So we're going to clean yours up and put your 20 back in. We're going to add 10 of ours, and we're done. And you're done.
Okay.
And if you haven't serviced the air conditioning system in the last 2 or 3 years, I wouldn't go past.
I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go past just having it topped off. There's no such thing as a dipstick, but the new equipment we have is what I described to you. The old-fashioned way was to hang your gauges off the hood spring and to, well, let me try this, and I'll add this, and our gauges are this, and blah, 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 blah. And we never did a good job, because you could get 10 guys doing that, and you could get 10 different levels of refrigerant. However, in the last 2 years, this equipment has been available, and many good shops have it. And I want to tell you something. This machine has made us look so good. This machine has made cars blow cold air that they've never blown before. And this machine has just done something for our integrity that few other pieces of equipment have done. So do you remember the guy with the Volvo that came in? He couldn't get it. He had taken it to all kinds of different shops. I'm talking to my daughter, Andy, and my wife, Renee. He had taken it to a whole bunch of different shops. Nobody could get it. So he brings it in to us. And it did take us a while to find out what the refrigerant level was.
Mm-hmm.
So we pulled his refrigerant out. We put it back in. We added refrigerant. And he was kind of iffy. You know, I've heard the same thing from the other 7 shops.
Yeah.
And I hate to be held to the other 7 shop standard, but I'm okay with that. And
but
I said,
that was a red flag for you, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. If I'd have known that at the beginning, I might not have taken that job, but I did. And I said to him, you know what? I'm so confident that we got it fixed. You just go take it for a ride. And if you don't like it, just keep on driving.
Yeah.
And he came back and paid for it.
Yeah. Well, and two, I think people don't understand if it's undercharged, you know, that causes an issue. But just the same as if it's overcharged, that can cause issues, too. So
well,
it's important to be right on the money with what it holds.
You're exactly right. If it's overcharged, the temperature is going to be substandard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times the high pressure switch will kick the compressor off.
Yeah.
So you have a low pressure switch and a high pressure switch that's supposed to take the extreme. The sweet spot in the middle is where we want to be. An undercharge turns on the low pressure switch or disconnects the compressor through the low pressure switch. An overcharge turns off the compressor at the high pressure switch.
Yeah.
So you have two switches.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Mark Salem, my wife is sitting next to me, Renee, and sitting next to her is Andy. Andy is actually the young lady who runs our facility, and she's the one that throws customers out. She's the one that does the yelling and screaming.
Not really, but okay.
Rick is your next caller, Rick.
I'm just teasing him. You know I'm just teasing him.
I know.
Andy is my youngest daughter, and she's doing just a wonderful job with our shop. And those people that have met her just love the heck out of her. And even though she's married, she's had how many propositions already? 5 or 10?
No.
So, from some of the older guys. Some of the older guys that just think you walk on water, and they say, is she married? And I said, yeah, well, there might be a 50-year age difference. Oh, well, I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah.
Okay, who was the caller, Renee?
No harm in asking.
Rick.
But we got to go.
Rick,
break,
I'm going to put you on hold, buddy. I got to take a break, and I'm sorry, but you stay right there. We've got 4 open lines available, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And real quick, let me tell you about Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Thompson's is the only shop in Mesa that's been able to pass the grade to be on our best car repair shops list. Thompson's been around since 1970. I think they're in their second or third generation. They have ASE certified technician, but Brian and Thelma are exactly the kind of people that you would want to live next door to you. They're givers, they're not takers. once you meet them, you will understand why Mark Salem thinks so highly of them. You'll understand why Mark Salem thinks that they're a really, really good shop. So they're on Stapley. Actually, they're on Main Street, just east of Stapley. Main Street, just east of Stapley. And they're on the south side of the road. So if you don't have a shop, then maybe stop by Thompson's or give them a call and ask Brian or Thelma if you can bring your car in and have them look at something. I'll tell you, I don't know that I've ever had a complaint about Thompson's.
No, I don't
and
think
if
so.
I did, we call them and they say, we'll take care of it, and that's the last we hear of it. So Thompson's is a great place. That, again, they're on Main Street just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. I'm Mark Salem, Andy Salem, and Renee Salem are here, and we're at your service. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem here. My wife, Renee, is to my left. Actually, they think I need to be babysat, and they've been unhappy with some of my activities on the last radio show or two.
Yeah, we don't think. We know.
Okay.
Right, Andy?
And so both of them are sitting here babysitting
we're
me.
We're glaring at them, giving them the evil eye.
That's right.
It's okay.
I think we were talking about, I think we need some kind of like metal underwear so they don't get wadded up or something while you're
so
on the radio.
Well, all right. Hold on. In my defense,
yes.
This radio show, and I'm reminding everybody now, this radio show is tell me what's wrong, okay? And then let's have a conversation.
Give me the symptoms.
Well, yeah. Just like Hector. I mean, him and I were jiving. You know what I'm saying? We were working together.
Jiving? Okay.
Hector, you can see the hand motions in the studio.
Yeah.
Well, and Hector didn't say, well, I bought this car in 1932, and then it went to my grandmother, and then it went here, and then it went there, and I changed the tires, and then I did this. And 7-8 minutes later, we haven't even found out what's wrong.
I know. There
and
we go.
And it's just not fair to everybody. I'm telling you. And speaking of fair, we got to go to Rick.
Okay.
All right,
go to Rick.
Rick, how you doing, buddy? What can we do for you?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. My problem is I have oil in my coolant.
Mm.
Now, I've called around and done some research online, and it seems like it's going to be either my head gasket or the oil cooler in my radiator. And I was wondering, is this what your opinion was, if there's any way to test for that without taking everything apart?
All I need to know is what color is that milkshake inside your cooling system? Is it brown or is it red?
It's brown, but I have to tell you, the transmission fluid is brown too. So it's
all right. All right. That's all right.
What kind of vehicle is it?
Let me also tell you one other thing. Okay. I did notice some time ago that my oil level had been dropping. Normally I don't lose oil. I don't burn it. I don't drop it. So I noticed that I was having to put some oil in there. So it has to be my oil.
All right. Now, wait a minute. Do you have a Ford diesel?
No, I've got this is a 97 GMC Safari van.
I can't answer your question, and you fooled me because your transmission. Now, your transmission, when you pull the dipstick, it's not a red strawberry, is it?
No, it's not, and it's not losing. I'm not losing anything there either.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. Here's the problem. When the engine is off, the cooling system is going to shove coolant into the problem. Okay, because you shut the car off and we still got 16 pounds of cooling system pressure. So if we've got a gate between the oil, engine oil, and the cooling system, we're going to squirt coolant into the engine oil. And it's going to turn it to a chocolate milkshake. Now, it's the same way with when the motor's running, we have 30 pounds of oil pressure against 16 pounds of cooling system. So now we're going to put put oil in the cooling system.
So right, that's what I kind of figured that, but it seems like there's no water in my oil at all.
Okay, but your eyes are not as good as my gray-haired eyes. And you're just, I can't answer your question because you're telling me I got brown in both the tranny and in the engine, and I got brown in the cooling system, so I don't know.
Well, the brown, let me say this. The brown was there way before this ever happened. I've kind of let things go on the transmission because I was having problems with it, and I was afraid to change the transmission fluid because I've heard sometimes you can do that, things just stops working altogether. So it's been brown for quite a while.
No, you don't understand. If it's brown, then the result is the same color in the cooling system. And I would have, if you had called me and said, hey, I'm really scared about servicing, then I'd have said, that's a wives' tale from the 70s. We don't believe that today, and and it's a wives' tale from the 70s, and that's just a crazy notion. So, okay. I mean, you can, there's going to be coolant in one of those things. That's all there is to it. There is no way in God's green earth that when you shut that car off that we're not shoving water back into the transmission or we're not shoving water back into the engine. So somebody's got to figure that out. Somebody's got to go in there and do some testing to determine what it is. Maybe it might be where they bypass the cooler. The two transmission lines that go to the radiator, we bypass those. And then if the problem goes away, then maybe it's okay. Here's the real big problem. If you got water in the transmission, you're in big trouble because the water deteriorates the glue that holds the clutches together. So the longer that water stays in there, the bigger the deal it is. So you got to get this fixed, but I'm going to tell you, you got a 50-50 chance of having the transmission fail in the next 6 months.
But you know, let's assume that there's also an oil cooler lines that go to the radiator too, right?
No.
There isn't, is.
Okay. Well, you're telling me something I've never seen before.
Well, I didn't know either, but I looked and there they were. There's two lines going in on one side from the transmission and two lines going in on the other side from the oil.
Okay. It sounds like there's just a lot of different variables. I mean, I think the best thing to do would probably just be have a shop check it out. That way you can make, you know, a good decision.
This isn't tough, but I can't fix it over the radio.
Yeah. Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I've already said before, a gray-haired guy is going to be able to figure this out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be able to smell it. We're going to be able to touch it. We're going to be able to pull the dipstick and compare the two. We know what coolant looks like with transmission oil. We know. But his problem is he's saying he's got brown transmission oil and he's got brown engine oil. But in reality, he's going to have black engine oil and brown transmission fluid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's going to be. Dynamic, I think once somebody takes a look at it, it's going to be pretty easy to figure out. It's just...
You know,
someone take a look at it.
You're going to have to pay to have somebody diagnose it, or you can go to a couple of transmission shops, but there's two things you need to be worried about. Number one, YouTube ain't going to fix your car, because this is one of those things that you need to taste it, you need to see it, you need to feel it, you need to do some testing. So if you want to go to YouTube, go there, and they're going to guess the radiator, and by all means, go ahead and replace the radiator. If that doesn't do it, you're in big trouble. If you have a cooler like you say you have on the one side for the oil and one side now that could be a power steering cooler as well. I don't know. I just don't think I've ever seen a General Motors product with the oil cooler going into the radiator. But I've been wrong before. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, Don, you're up next. 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, we're going to be here until noon, so you got plenty of time to call in. Right now, we got Don and Ken, but I'm going to do a couple things real quick, and then I'm going to grab Don, and then Ken, you guys stay right there. IMM Auto Services in the northeast part of Tempe. They're just south of the 202, just west of the 101. If you own one of them weird cars called a Volvo, a Saab, a Fiat, or an Alfa Romeo, you should have a relationship with IMM Auto. There's a couple of Mercedes-only shops in town that you should have a relationship with. There's a couple of BMW shops in town that you can have a relationship with. But when it comes to those four, Volvo, Saab, Fiat, and Alfa Romeo, IMM is absolutely the shop we go to and the shop that we refer to when we run into problems with those cars. Those cars might as well be made in Antarctica because they are completely different than Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, and all the rest of them. However, IMM can handle anything in your garage, so if you got a Chevy, Toyota, Honda, Chrysler, or Ford, they can do that too. But IMM, just northeast portion of Tempe, it's a good place to shop. Okay, Rick called in real quick, and he said, what about a head gasket? We have to figure out where an oil is meeting water. That's what we have to figure out. So where is it that those two can touch? It is true that they can touch in a head gasket, but typically when that happens, we have compression of 110, 120 pounds that gets involved. Now all of a sudden we start blowing stuff up. We blow the radiator apart. We have this head gasket gets worse and worse and worse. But to answer your question, it could easily be an intake manifold too. The intake manifold, we have water going and we have oil in and around there. So we can have a mixture there. That happens sometimes too. Again, the very first thing you got to do is pressurize a cooling system. At that point, you're going to see where the air is coming from, because the cooling system has to have a leak in it. Mm-hmm. So if you pressure it, you look at the cap and it's 16 pounds of pressure, you pressure it up, then all of a sudden it goes 15, 14, 13. Really and truly, you take your ear next to the dipstick tube on the transmission and listen in a quiet shop. Mm-hmm. You do it in the same. You put a big megaphone in your ear and stick it on the oil dipstick. Those are the kinds of things that you do. But you're going to have to pay somebody a buck and a quarter an hour to do that.
Yeah.
So, all righty. Don, you're up next. How can I help you, Don?
I'm beyond help. You know that.
Oh, my God. You know, Don is a tow truck driver. Don's a tow truck driver. You know how many times he's been arrested?
I got new wheels for my tow truck. They're not wood anymore.
Nice. That. And Don drives around with his wife in the tow truck, and she tells him which way the cow ate the cabbage.
Exactly. Been doing that for 25 years. Yeah.
Smart man.
Yeah. Hey, a few weeks ago, I towed in a CX-9 to your place that had a bad motor. It overheated on the bush.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys put a motor in that?
Sorry. No.
We didn't. Annie would know.
No.
What happened?
No.
That's actually, the water pump was leaking, and that's when it's the same engine that Mom has in her Edge.
Okay.
If I'm remembering correctly, it's an internal water pump, and you have to pull the motor to replace the water pump.
Okay. Yeah, yes. He was saying something about the Tempe firefighter. Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know who he's yeah. Richardson's buddy.
Oh, gee, well, that just doubles his ticket.
So the gentleman actually said basically at that point, due to the mileage and all of that, Eddie said.
Yeah, he had something like 173,000 on it.
Yeah,
something.
And so Eddie said, if you're pulling it out, you might as well replace the motor at that point.
Right.
And the customer didn't end up doing it, but he said that CX-9 was the best car he's ever owned.
Oh, you're just saying that.
No, I'm not saying.
No, he did say that, Mark.
Mark, we got verification of that.
I'm telling you right now.
Even though it was an F product in those years, Mark.
You guys can gang up on me all you want.
I've never heard anybody say they
love their F car, okay?
Hey, you tell me in private you like my F car. You just won't say it on the radio.
Yeah, you just have this.
Over the years, I've worn out a bunch of diesel, let me tell you.
I know. Well, I think what probably happened is the motor was cooked, right, Don?
Yeah, it was pretty much shot.
And so we have an internal water pump, which is another good Ford idea, because nobody else in the world has an internal water pump, and everybody else's water pump starts leaking, you get to see it.
Yeah.
So Ford doesn't do that. So this guy has a water pump leak that manifests itself into an engine destruction.
Well, and if I'm...
So that's the better idea with the light bulb?
Oh, shush.
Don, if I'm remembering correctly, was he towing something when this happened?
Yeah,
as well?
He was towing his boat. He was on his way to the World of Plate.
Yeah, so he really... I think he really cooked it.
Okay, hold on now. So you can't pull a boat with a Ford?
Not that Ford.
Oh, listen to you.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
But if I remember,
so back
him. Yeah, if I remember right, too, that motor was totally expensive. I can't even remember. It seemed like it was $14,000 or something.
I don't
stupid
remember.
Like
that's
that.
Right.
It must have been the turbocharged motor.
I don't know. It was bad.
Well, the turbo is a 4-cylinder, and the V6 like yours is a 6-cylinder. I don't know. I wasn't
no
there.
Idea. I
anyway,
don't remember
Don,
offhand.
Anyway, okay. The guy left, and we didn't make him any madder than anybody else did, but I think we gave him the best advice we could give him.
Yeah.
And, Don, if you do happen to follow up with him, tell him that Renee hasn't wrecked her car yet, so if the body's still good, maybe we'll buy the body so that we can just put her motor in the old body.
I think he sent it to auction.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
He probably went and bought a new Ford.
Yeah. God bless him. Sometimes you hit your finger with a hammer twice before you learn.
Oh, you're bad.
All righty. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
alrighty.
You too.
See how much fun this is?
Oh, yeah. I'm just having so much fun.
Good thing that chair has a seatbelt. Otherwise, she'd just be jumping around.
Yeah. All right. Calm down now. We got to get Ken. I can't look at if you guys, I'll just kill your mics, and then that's it. Ken, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hey, guys. Hey, I want to get you guys your opinion on tires.
Okay.
I just bought some Toyo tires.
Okay.
Some all-terrains for my truck.
Yeah.
First of all, do you like those tires?
Let me answer your question. Hold on. Just come on. I got this. Okay, girls? Let me ask you. Hold on. Andy, on your Camry, what kind of tires you got?
Toyos.
What do you got on your Dodge truck?
Toyos.
Renee, what do you got on your Ford?
Toyos.
What has Alan got on his van and on his truck?
Toyos.
Mark's got what on his truck?
I don't know.
Toyos.
Okay.
The guys all have the, they have the, not the all-terrains, but they have, like, the RTs or the MTs and the Toyos on their Dodge trucks.
Okay, yeah. So which is a mixture of highway and aggressive tread, I think.
Yeah.
The answer to your question is we sell the heck out of Toyos. They're less expensive than Michelin. We believe they're every bit as good as Michelin. And here's something that you don't know. Alan, my son, got to go to Atlanta, Georgia to their factory. The factory in Atlanta, Georgia employs American people. It uses American technology. This factory is 17 or 20 acres big. They process something like 55,000 tires a day, and they spin and air up every tire. And if a tire fails, then the computers grab all the tires before that have already been made, and they start testing until they get to the end of the line. Alan said it's the most phenomenal technology place he's ever been to before. We like the company. We like their reps. We like they give us some flexibility. They're more focused on customer service than the almighty dollar. And all of us have them on our cars. Now, I think we have them on our rental cars. I think we have them on our shop trucks.
Yeah.
I think we have them all over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the answer to your question is we think the world of Toyo tires. We don't really much care that they say Toyo on them, but we do know that many of the tires that we install are made out of the Atlanta plant.
Okay. Well, I think I may have an issue with the tire that I bought.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Well, what was on my truck before I bought these tires were 245/75/15.
Okay.
I put on 265/70/17.
Okay.
So what's happening is when I first bought it, I got this vibration at 60, between 60 and 70. I would get it in my steering wheel and in my seat and in my feet. I take it back. They did a, it's called a road something.
Road force.
Yeah, road force.
Road force. Road force. Yeah.
Thank you. They found one of the four tires so out of round or out of balance that they couldn't, it could not be fixed. So they got me another one.
Okay.
Put that on. I'm now, and when they balanced the tire, they could not ever, I'm watching them do this, they could never get it to zero out.
Wait a minute. Stop for a minute. Did you ever see them take the tire off the machine? Did you ever see them put the tire on a tire machine, let the air out, and spin the tire on the wheel? Did you ever see that happen?
No, sir.
Okay, well then, I don't want to talk to you anymore. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of people out there. Well, first of all, I'm going to offer you something for free. Alan's back. He'll be back Monday. Mm-hmm. I want you to bring your truck in with your tires. I'm going to have Alan make you a new door sticker because you can't change the tires without changing the door sticker and having proper inflation, and you don't know what it is, and neither do those other guys. However, we have software that does that. So we're going to give you three deflations, one butt in the seat, three butts in the seat, and the truck loaded with fat chicks, okay? So there's three different inflations we're going to give you. Number two, unless you know how to make a dance with that machine, you're just nothing but paddling upstream. Alan can make the two machines together. Here's the situation. We want the heavy side of the tire to be 180 degrees from the heavy side of the wheel. And unless you take that tire and know how to spin it on the wheel, you can never get it right. So we can put tires on until we're all dead, and unless you know how to make that machine dance. Remember the guy with the Jaguar? He had been to 10 different places. Mm-hmm. He brings it in here. Alan balances his tires. He says, I'm on my way to Tucson. Alan says, just what we always say when they lose confidence in the whole industry, go to Tucson. On your way back, if I didn't fix your car, I already drove it, sir. I already know it's fixed. But the guy was 20 miles south of town. He calls Alan and says, I'm coming back. I'll pay you.
We had one this week. Real quick, Ken, what is the original tire size that you had on it?
245.
But 245 what?
75/17.
And then you have 265/70/17s now?
Yes.
Okay. And so what the current problem is, what? Just a balance issue? You're still having a vibration?
It has improved a lot, but at about 70 miles an hour, I'm getting a little bit in the steering wheel.
Okay. Yeah. We had one this week that came in, and he had had imbalance the day before, and he didn't know anything about road force balance, blah, blah, blah. But he came in, the balance was off, mm-hmm. and the road force was
2 minutes.
So high.
Okay.
So we did the same thing, got the road force down. I think the highest road force on that one was 68 of the four. One of them was at 68, and by the time it left, they were down to the highest was 32. Mm-hmm. And I think for the it was a truck, so I think the acceptable limit is 40 or
right.
less.
40 or less.
But same thing, this guy had been struggling with it for had different tires on it, had changed all sorts of stuff, and yeah. it was...
We're proud to tell you this. Alan, my son, is just, for whatever reason, has picked up on this, and it's peanut butter and jelly with respect to him and tires and Road Force and making this machine dance. There's also, I think, two or three versions of the Road Force machine, and we have the newest version ourselves. Plus, we already know how to make the machines dance. So... you're going to talk to Alan. He's going to make you a new door sticker, and we'll make you the same deal. If we can fix it, you pay for it,
and if
we don't, you don't. How's that?
Okay.
Okay. And Andy will be your contact, and Alan will be back to work Monday. He's been on a two-week vacation. He just celebrated 20 years with our company. And let me tell you what happened, Ken. He goes on his 20-year trip, and I do an analysis, and I find out that instead of 20 years, he's really only been here 18 and a half years. And the reason he's only been here 18 and a half years is because all the times he's quit the family business and all the times I fired him.
I don't think he's ever quit. I think he's been fired about 20 times.
Okay, but he had 18 and a half years, so I called him up and said, get your butt back here because you only have 18 and a half years. And the bottom line is he stayed another day and a half.
I know.
It's because you two guys.
That's right.
All right, Ken. And we got all the phone lines, 602-508-0960. They're wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be back in about 7.
And settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here for another hour talking about car and car repair problems. And if you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960. Larry Harker's Auto is on our best car repair shops list. He's at 38th Avenue and Indian School. He's been around since 1967. Bob there is one of the best diagnosticians that I've ever met. He has the tenacity of a bulldog, and he is one great guy. But in order to be a good diagnostician, you have to have a fundamental knowledge of how the entire car works. So if you get one of those things where every other shop in town has not been able to fix my car, may I suggest you stop by, talk to Bob. Ellen runs the front counter, his wife, and Bob runs the shop. Stop by Larry Harker's Auto at 38th Avenue and Indy School. They do everything from oil changes to engine replacement, but he's really good as a diagnostician. All righty, let's go back to the phones real quick. We're going to start with David. David, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hello, Mark. It's David. I'm a gray-haired old technician from one of your recommended repair facilities.
Good.
And I called in to give you a hard time about the gentleman with the oil in the radiator.
Okay.
Good.
Are you saying good?
I'm saying good.
All right, I'm listening. I'm all ears.
Chevrolets do have an engine oil cooler on the left side, and they do have a tranny cooler on the right side. So it's, and for some strange reason, after you shut the engine off, the coolant will not go back the other way.
See, I've never seen that before. I've seen it go both ways, whether the coolant goes into the motor or the oil comes out. But if you're telling me, I believe you, if you're telling me it's got an oil cooler on it, now, if he has an oil cooler, tell me what you think it is.
If he's losing oil, then it's, if he's losing engine oil, it's probably the engine oil cooler leaking into the cooling system.
Okay. Now, what about when you shut it off and you got 16 pounds of coolant pressure? You think it wouldn't shove it back through the same opening that it's coming through?
Common sense says it would, but okay. it will not.
Okay.
I've seen it 100 times, and also on not just Ford 6.0s, but Audis and Volkswagens have oil coolers that have the same problem.
Okay. Now, if we're going to do that and we're going to have 30 pounds of oil pressure into that coolant, 30 and higher, in that oil cooler, shouldn't we see that chocolate milkshake all over the coolant recovery system, and shouldn't we see that radiator just plumb full of oil?
Yes, he should.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I've been wrong before. He'll find out, and of course, if I'm wrong, he'll let me know. I guarantee you that. But thank you for that. Thank you. Now, let me ask you a question. Unless you have a problem with this, then don't answer me, but which shop did you come from?
25th Street Automotive.
Oh, good. Billy over at 25th Street Automotive. I like the heck out of him. What he exhibits more than anybody else in our group is he just has some Christian values that I really like. And I think he does his fair share of work at substantially less normal than charges. It's a nice way to say sometimes for free, but he's a good guy. Well, anyway, thank you very much, Ken. David,
yeah.
Thank you very much. And let's go to Rob. Is it Rob? Did I get
it? It is.
Okay, Rob, how can I help you?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay, thanks for your show is what I wanted to say first. And then I have a 2004 Tundra.
Okay.
And we replaced the rear shocks. We thought it needed shocks. But it acts more like it's setting down on the axle, like it's hard in the rear end, like the springs are worn out.
Okay.
And so I really think it's the springs that I need to go get springs, but it's like it doesn't have suspension in the back end anymore.
Is it a leaf spring or a coil spring back there?
It sets a leaf spring, and all you have to do is put a little camping gear in there to get that effect, not a big load.
All right. Well, you know, usually the front of the leaf spring is has a rubber bushing, and then there's usually a shackle on the back side of the leaf spring, okay? So what you can do is you get a couple of your buddies from the neighborhood, and they're going to shake the Tundra up and down, and you're going to get underneath there and put your hands on each end of the leaf springs. So you're going to cup your hand around the front end, and then they're going to bounce it up and down violently. Then you're going to go to the back side of that leaf spring and then do all four of them. I'll bet you have a bushing out of one or more of those leaf springs. And what you describe, the hard feeling, this hard is really metal-to-metal contact that would otherwise be rubber-to-metal. So I think you should check the leaf springs, and that's how we do it at the shop. We caught a couple of guys that are pushing 250 pounds, and they can pick up the bumper on the back of a truck and just bounce the thing almost off the ground. The little guys underneath the truck, it scares them when they do that. But it's something that we do, and it takes just a minute, and usually we can find it by just touching it. So you can drive it. The problem is you can't see what's going on underneath the back of it. And we don't have a technician that we can hide underneath by the spare. So the issue is do it while it lives in the shop and just bounce it around there and put your hands in. You'll find it. Another thing is when you put the shocks in, you did get the rubber bushings in, right?
I didn't put the shocks in. I had my mechanic put the shocks in.
Did it change any after he put the shocks in, or do you have the same symptom?
Same symptoms. It didn't change.
Okay.
Did you go to the shop and just tell them to replace the shocks?
Exactly. It wasn't my mechanic's fault.
You're both gone. I'm turning off your microphones. You can't treat a customer that way. That's an unsaid thing. He admitted it. He's a real man.
Just giving
he went in in there and told that guy to put the shocks on.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. We don't have too many of those
anything.
That
we
do business with us.
We have a lot of them.
They come. Well, we're right across the street from the biggest group of engineers in the whole valley.
Yeah.
So they come over and tell us how to fix their cars. They're never right, and then it's our fault.
Yes.
We literally, I think we have a piece of paper that we have them sign that says, I'm diagnosing my own noise or my own repair. I'm instructing you to do the repair, and if it isn't successful, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
We actually have a form for that.
Yep.
So anyway,
true.
I think, Rob, I think that is a fixable thing. What part of town do you live in?
I live in Mesa. The one other question I wanted to ask you was, in case it wasn't the bushings, I think you've mentioned a spring guy. A guy that handles if we need to beef those springs up a little bit, if it's not that.
Dunbar
Leaf and Spring. Uh-huh. We just had our motorhome over there. Uh-huh. We have a 94 Bounder, and I took it over there, and I said, you know, hey, can you do better than what I got? And he goes, do you roll when you come out of a driveway? And I said, oh, Jesus, sometimes you think you're going to fall on the side. He says, I'm going to take all your rubber bushings out, and I'm going to put he makes the plastic bushings that never wear. The hard plastic bushings. So he did that. Then he put some sway bar bushings on for me. And I mean, that motorhome is just like a different motorhome.
Yeah, it's. I think it's downtown Phoenix, right?
It is. It's 7th Avenue. I think it's at Washington, just west of that. So it's like 6th Avenue in Washington. Now, Washington's north of Jefferson. So I know it's not Jefferson. So it's Washington, one block west of 7th Avenue on the north side of the road.
Yeah.
And they've been there since Jesus Christ was a baby. So these guys know their stuff. And we've been using them since 1970.
Whether it's the bushing or the spring, they'll be able to take care of that for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. From one end of the spring to the other, including all the bushings as well. And I'll tell you what, they'll find your problem in no time. Those guys, they're good guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
You betcha.
Appreciate your work.
You betcha. Air Park Auto Service is up north, and because I have two ladies sitting here next to me, I need to tell you that Nadine runs Air Park Auto. Do either one of you know any other female top dog auto repair shop?
No.
Okay.
Nadine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I should probably add that in. But anyway, they're up at Air Park. In the Scottsdale area. They've been around since 1985. Nadine and Stacy built about the same time that Renee and I built our facility. Stacy passed away a few years ago from something that took his life. But he actually has... Nadine was his right-hand person the whole time. So Nadine really knows what she's talking about, and she knows enough to know when one of the technicians might be just slipping her a little bit of lies. So anyway, if you live in the North Scottsdale area, it's the only facility that I can recommend from Carefree to the north, back down to McCormick Parkway from 56th Street all the way to Fountain Hills. They're on Hayden, on Raintree, which is just south of Bell or Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard. So east on Raintree, off of Hayden, and you'll find Air Park Auto.
Raymond is your next caller. Raymond.
Raymond, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. Yes, I've got a 2014 Dodge Ram pickup, 2500.
Okay.
And for me, that truck doesn't stop fast enough. I know it's a heavy truck, but it, you know, that's been about 2-3 times that I almost hit somebody.
Okay.
Every minute, hit somebody. So I was just wondering, is that the way those trucks are made?
Well, I have two questions for you. What did you drive before?
I drove, I did drive a 2500 Dodge Ram also, but it was a diesel, so I know diesel's a little bit different. But it stopped within reason, but this one is not, it's not stopping.
No, but Raymond, what did you drive for years and years and years before?
Oh, I drove a half-ton truck.
Okay. All right. Here's what I want you to do, Raymond.
Okay.
There's probably a real slick parking lot, concrete parking lot. You have to find it. Now, most car washes have a real slick concrete finish. Okay?
Right.
Next door to us, we own the self-service car wash next door, and it's got a real smooth finish. So to determine whether the brakes are working right, we'll drive over there, and we'll kind of come into the parking lot at 10 to 20 miles an hour, and then we'll just lock them up. Now, if it's got ABS, we pull the fuse. Now, after you lock them up, you put it in park, let it sit there, and you get out, okay? The front skid marks will be 2 feet long, and the back skid marks will be 4 feet long. So you're looking, and they all ought to be even. So whatever the left rear is, the right rear should be. Whatever the left front is, the right front should be. Now, the weight of the motor is going to come down on the front end, so we're not going to have nearly as much skid. We're going to have braking, but not much skid. The back end of the truck comes up in the air, and that's the reason why we have a little longer black line. So that's how we do it. Raymond, we just take it over there to the slick concrete and do a couple of panic stops, and the people in the car wash think we're crazy.
Don't do this at our car wash, please.
Yeah, exactly. Because we there was one day
you and
that
Alan
you didn't
do.
Stop.
You and Alan just do donuts in our car wash.
Raymond, do you understand Spanish?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I would like to say some really bad words right now, but I think I'd probably get in trouble.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few listeners that can speak Spanish
as
well.
Yeah, they probably know what you're saying.
And understand.
Yeah, I think that starts with Ijuela. Anyway, Raymond, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay. So can I pick it up for your shop and have it checked out?
Yes, Andy will make the arrangements for you. If you want to do that, yes, we can.
Yeah,
we can
do that.
We can take it next door. You'd have Eddie do that because him and I have been over there a lot. All right, we'll do that for you for nothing. We'll let you know, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hey, Raymond, let me tell you one thing, too. We have a 2500 Dodge here that's, I think Alan's is a 2009 or 2012.
His is eight.
It's an eight. So we have a three-quarter ton, four-wheel drive.
His is a 3500.
Mine's a 3500.
Yeah, Phil's is a 2500, but your guys' is 3500.
Well, you could bring yours, too, and we could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. The tires, yours are a little wider than probably Raymond's. Yeah. But, yeah, we can help you, Raymond. The name of our shop is Salem Boys Auto. Warner and I-10. Yeah. Now, Raymond, por favor, not real early on Monday morning, because we're real busy on Monday morning.
Okay.
But in the afternoon or in the tarde, eso está bien, okay?
Okay.
Gracias. See that? We can handle that. We can talk like that. And you don't know what
is
the hell.
Out of control. I think we missed a break somewhere.
Yeah.
Calm down. Gil hasn't said a word.
Yeah.
This
he
is
did.
Called. This
I'm
is
in
called
shock.
People are saying what?
Hey, Gil. This is a soft break. Okay.
Oh, okay.
The 30 and the 5850 is a hard break.
I got you.
That. Yeah.
Okay. Gil.
All right.
Save
the
me, buddy.
Number.
We'll
Let's
be back.
Go.
Oh, 602-508-0960. Hey, why don't you guys just run the show? I'll sit over on that side of the table and laugh at you. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 5202. I should probably write that down. Mark Salem sitting here along with Renee Salem, my wife, Andy Salem, my daughter. And I'm being punished today for being a little ornery, so I apologize for the two girls' behavior. 602-508-0960.
You need to apologize for your behavior. We're doing fine.
602-508-0960. We've got three people on the line. We're going to get to you in about 16 seconds. Automatic Transmission Exchange is in Phoenix. He's been around since 1968. That's a common denominator in the shops that I refer you to. These guys have been in the same location. They've been around a long time. They're not fly-by-night guys, and they weren't born yesterday. I'm sending you to the real experts in their fields. So automatic transmission is one of those. So if you need any kind of transmission work, they're in Central Phoenix. They're at 40th Street in Washington, and they've been in the same place for a very, very long time. So Phil and Trey and Paul are the three principals of that place, and you can talk to any one of them, and they will help you out. And they'll drive your car for free so long as there's a noise they can hear, or you can teach them how to duplicate the problem you're having. So that's Automatic Transmission Exchange. We actually call them ATE, 40th Street in Washington on the north side of the road. All righty, let's go to the phones real quick. Jeannie, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I need to get a new vehicle. Mine was just totaled in an accident, and I drove a 2011 Kia Sorento, which I really, really like. It has the backup mirror and backup camera and the GPS system, you know, the dash and everything. It's a V6. And so I'm looking to get the same thing. But I'm wondering about that, like a regular unleaded gas versus a diesel vehicle.
I don't think I would give any of the women in my life advice to buy a diesel.
But
A diesel car, you mean?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
A diesel car.
Historically, that's just not, they're not, I mean, how are you guys going to feel coming out of the hairdresser, you go to the hairdresser and she goes, Jesus, you smell like you've been in a truck stop all day long. Because that's the fact of it. You have a diesel, you go with the smell, and they typically, the fuel filter on a gasoline car is about one-third the cost of a fuel filter on a diesel car. And yeah, they go, okay, well, you don't need spark plugs. Well, you don't need spark plugs for 100,000 miles anyway, so what difference does it make? So, and on a lot of the diesels, it costs a lot more for an oil change. The maintenance costs are, and when they break, they're always a lot more.
Yeah.
So if you had a 2011 Kia Sorento, I want to tell you, first of all, Kia and Hyundai, they used to be terrible, terrible cars. They were ugly. They were ugly in the engine compartment. They were ugly on dependability. But they have done a 180-degree turn. They are fine automobiles. Here's my advice. Are you looking at a private party sale, or are you looking to buy one off of a lot?
Is it beneficial to buy one off of a lot?
Well, you can and can't. Here's my suggestion. One way or another, you better get a Carfax, because there's times where you'll hear, oh, this was a little old lady's car, and she traded it in, and then you say, well, can I see all the maintenance records? No, she didn't leave those here. Well, you run a Carfax, and this car's on its seventh owner. And, Jeannie, that happens all the time. So,
wow.
I mean, there's guys now that go to the auction and buy cars, and then they sell them, and then when Jeannie shows up, they go, well, I'm really from Cleveland. My dad died, and he left a car here. And, you say, well, do you have any maintenance records on it? Is there any history on the car? No, I don't have any of that kind of stuff. Well, really, he bought it on Tuesday at the auction. And he wants to make a $500 turnaround. And then there's the second thing. No matter where you buy it, whether it's a dealer or a used car dealer or whether it's a private party, spend the between what, $75 and $125, we're trying to cover all the shops in town, for what we call a used car checkover.
Yeah. A lot of, if you buy it from a dealer or any, car place that sells vehicles, they're going to, a lot of times they say they've done like a pre-purchase inspection or they've looked it over themselves and nothing's wrong, but it's always good to get a third party to look at it and just go over it and make sure there is, in fact, nothing wrong.
Jeannie, I can give you a success story after success story. Lady brings in a car. We check it out. We gave her a list of stuff to do that on our pricing structure was north of $850. So she went in, and we also gave her some new pricing parameters. She got a discount on the car. She got them to pay the $800. They did all the work. And she says, I ended up better $1,000 to the better for, what do we charge for a used car checkover?
Yeah, it's about $125.
Okay, so she says that cost me $125, and basically you made me more than $1,000.
Yeah, and I think too, sometimes you're going to find out things that maybe are wrong with the vehicle. Say the valve covers are leaking, something like that, or valve cover gaskets are leaking. But you're also going to find maybe what maintenance needs to be done. Maintenance isn't something that has to be taken care of right now, but kind of what you may be looking forward to in the future as far as costs and things like that. So, and I think it's a really good negotiating tool.
And Jeannie, also, you're exactly right. The issue is as we look at the car, we don't know where their standards are and where our standards are. Maybe they're only going to say 50% of the work needs to be done. I think it would be fair to say that we're going to be in the 60 to 70, 75% of the work. And there's a lot of picky shops that are going to pick it apart and do 100% of the work. And so you want to find a balance there. But another thing is most times they'll fix it. They're not going to pay Salem to fix it because they can fix it for less than Salem because their technicians are on salary and they can put parts in at a cost. Well, it doesn't really make any difference to you. It's just whether we do it or they do it, but you get the benefit of that free work. So whatever you do, just have a used car checkover. Do you have a garage that you trust?
I don't. I was going to ask you about that, too.
I'm
in, like, North Peoria.
Okay. Probably Kurtz. Thunderbird Auto up there north.
Or Action Auto.
Okay.
Or
Kurtz.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll tell you what. We got Kurtz at I-17 in Bell. Kurtz Auto. It's with a C. And then we've got Action Auto. He's at Deer Valley and I-17. And then on the west side of town, we have Thunderbird Auto at 88th Avenue and Thunderbird.
1 minute.
Okay. What was the second one you said?
Action Auto Repair.
Action.
Yeah, Deer Valley. Any one of those three guys will be happy to help you.
Just make sure you do that used car check over before you purchase the vehicle.
Yeah, didn't we have one the other day that we wrote like $4,500 worth of stuff that it needed?
Just light. I mean, every light that could be on was on. It had not been maintained. It was
ugly.
Ugly.
Yeah, and even before you negotiate your price, because if we give you a $900 worth of work, then that's an automatic discount off the price. And you can still negotiate from there. So the you like the car, you narrow it down to the top one or two, then you go have a used car check over done. That's the scenario, one and two. All right?
Awesome. Thank you,
Jeannie.
Can I ask you one other thing? Where would I go to look for a Kia? Do you have a dealer that...
No, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be back to talk to you in just a few minutes. Welcome back, everybody. 33 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting to my left is Renee Salem, my wife, and to the right, my daughter, Andy Salem. Andy runs the operation. What is it you do? I just needed you to remind me.
I take care of you.
Oh,
that's right. Trying to keep you in line. So I'm not doing a very good job, am I?
So anyway, this portion of Underhood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. You've heard me talk about Kurtz. He's at I-17 in Bell. Jeff is the service manager. He's an ASE Master Tech. Eric is an ASE Master Tech, and he is the lead tech in the shop. And between those two guys, you cannot possibly find a better shop with as much experience, as well as Kurt himself, but they are really good at what they do. So if you're anywhere near I-17 and Bell, and you don't have a shop, then try Kurtz. If you're mad at your shop, try Kurtz. But just stop by, shake his hand, talk to him. He's a good guy, and you'll see real quick why I like Kurtz so well, so much. All right, Jeannie had one more question, and she said, do we have anybody that we can send her to? And the answer is we don't.
We really don't.
We've never really developed a good relationship with a used car facility because the ownership changes so often.
Yeah.
They sell to one another and back and forth. She's probably best served at a Kia dealership and to find something on their used car lot and get a Carfax knowing, and then she can have a used car checkover done and negotiate the deal. Now, part of the new car checkover is we actually go into KBB.com and tell her the average price, the low, the middle, and the high.
Yeah, we can do that for her.
And that way we can give her a pricing structure. And obviously it depends on trade-in, but if you go in and you're going to buy a used car for cash, that's your strongest position because there's no trade-in. There's none of that stuff going on.
I would probably, too, just check and see what private party sales are available because she's going to save money that way.
A Craigslist thing.
Yeah,
Craigslist. Or Auto Trader.
Yeah,
Auto Trader.
All sorts of different places.
Offer Up, too. Yeah. All righty, Darren. Thank you for holding, Darren. How can I help you?
Hello, sir. Well, thank you for helping me out with my F-150 in the first place.
Okay.
You helped me out in the past on it. So this time I got a question about my daughter's Jetta.
Okay.
2012 with a 2.5 in it, and the air conditioner takes forever to get only cool. It never gets cold anymore. And the research I've done, I guess it does not have a clutch on it. There's a valve of some sort.
Okay.
Have you had it serviced in the last couple of years?
Yeah, at the dealer.
Okay.
Well, if the nose of the compressor is spinning all the time, whether the air's on or off, then there's going to be some other mechanism that's going to energize the compressor because the clutch is on the front of the compressor. So if the compressor's not activated, the front of the compressor's not moving. And when you activate the clutch, then it is. I don't know any valve that you're talking about.
Does he mean the expansion valve?
Well, the expansion valve controls the flow of Freon. But the air compressor has to be on for that to happen.
Yeah.
So in your particular case, somebody's going to have to just kind of check it out. There's two hoses coming off the compressor. One of them's hot, one of them's cold. The colder the big fat one is, then the easier it is for you to come to a conclusion. We had a car in here not too long ago that the heater control valve was bad, so we were sending hot water through the same box as the cold air. Well, nobody could get the thing to blow cold until we pinched off the heater lines. Once we pinched off the heater lines, the thing blew ice cubes out of it. So then we knew that we had a heater control valve that wasn't shutting off the hot water to the evaporator case, and that was contaminating the cold air that was coming out. So I don't know on your Jetta, but I can tell you that certainly the pressures need to be checked. Certainly there needs, and the fact that it does get cold means that the compressor is working. I mean, it's being energized, whether it's got a clutch or whatever.
2 minutes.
But the expansion valve is something that's easy to check. If you have a set of gauges and you understand how the system works, it's pretty easy to check it out.
Yeah, it shows in the good range. It shows 50 PSI, if I'm not mistaken. So,
well, yeah, but that's not – don't go in that direction because you're going to end up in a bad way. The low pressure value has everything to do with the ambient temperature, the temperature of the condenser, the charge in the system, and what fan speed you're on. There's no blanket 50 pounds on the low side. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what to do to make it go as low as it can and what to do to make it go as high as it can. So you can't just go into the internet and say, okay, I'm looking for 50 pounds on the low side, because I'm going to tell you something. 30 pounds is a more likely number, and if you just keep charging that till 50 pounds, or if someone has charged it to 50 pounds, bingo, that's the problem. So that's how it works. Thank you very much, Darren. We're going to go to Mike. Mike, good morning. How can we help you?
Hi, I've got a question about drum brakes. Okay. I have an 89 Toyota with drum brakes in the back, and the right rear wheel was locking up. I opened up the wheel and looked at it, and the brake cylinder was leaking, so I changed it. Now I'm wondering if the and now the brake is still locking up. Is the contamination of the brake shoe causing that?
Almost assuredly, it's causing that. You've done a wonderful job, by the way. However, what you should have done is you should have soaked those brake pads, because brake fluid is water soluble. So maybe jack it up, take the drum off of it, wash the drum with water real good, wash the shoes for every hour for 5 hours. Let it dry in the sun overnight. And, of course, the next couple of nights won't be any problem. We're days driving and drying it out. But if you can get it to washed up good, then you're home free. If you can't, you're going to have to buy a pair of shoes for both, you know, a full set, axle set of shoes, and replace the shoes.
Right. Okay. Very
right.
good.
Good. Thank you. All right. And we also, we got Jeff. I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to take you first. We'll be right back right after this. Mark Salem, Renee Salem, and Andy Salem all here at your service. We got a we almost have a full board. But real quick, let me tell you about S&S Tire. S&S Tire's on the west side. They have three locations: Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. They have a comprehensive line of tires and many different brands. This is one of the few places in town, one of the few places in Arizona, that you can go in and you can say, good, better, best, give me a price on all three out the door. Mounted, balanced, FET, sales tax, and everything. They have that kind of inventory. They have an inventory second to just about no one I know. So if you stop by S&S, they're willing to talk to you about any kind of tire and give you different prices for different tires until you find something you like. They have from wheelbarrow to everything in between wheelbarrows to the biggest tractor tires. So I can assure you they're going to have tires for your car or your truck. So they also do alignments and suspension work. So anything regarding tires or even suspension work, visit one of the S&S tire locations in the West Valley. Real quick, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Write that down.
We know that.
I'm wrong. Alger calls up. He's one of my transmission go-to guys. And Alger Stowers owns A&S Transmissions in North Phoenix. And I had said that when you get water into your transmission, it causes the glue to come apart and causes the transmission to fail, the clutches to fail. Alger, he has my cell phone, and he won't tomorrow because I'll talk to his wife. And he writes down, water or antifreeze does not attack the glue of the friction material. I said it did.
Yeah.
He said the friction material actually sucks up the water like a sponge, and then when the friction material gets hot, it turns to steam, which makes the friction materials blow off the metal plate that they're attached to. I think at the end of the day, we both are on the same thing here. Water causes the clutches to go bad. He says it turns to steam first.
He's got a lot. It's a lot more in detail and in depth, the answer.
But the end result is still the same.
Okay.
So
you can make yourself right however you want.
And you know what? I'm going to give his home phone number away as soon as I can find it.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's go to the phones. Jeff, you're up next. How can I help you?
Well, sir, ladies, it's an honor to and a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
I have a 1998 Ford E250.
Okay.
That has the Triton motor in it.
Okay.
And as long as I've had it, which has been 3 years, the engine light stays on. And I've had it to a couple of different shops to get it fixed. It has the heavy duty workload, so it doesn't have to go through the electronic check. They only stick a thing up the tailpipe, and it always passes.
Okay.
But what the problem is that when I pull up to a stop, it surges. It's like a horse that wants to go back to the barn. It's always wanting to move forward.
Okay, now what light do you have on? The check engine light?
The check engine light.
And what's the code behind that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But if I put it in neutral, it evens right out and purrs. Under a load, I use it to pull a trailer full of safes because I'm a locksmith. Under a load, driving freeway speed, it cruises just fine. It's just when I pull up to a stop that it surges.
Okay.
And one shop said they had absolutely no idea what it was. Another shop told me that it has three different timing chains, and they're all loose and saggy, and that's what's causing it, and I need a new motor.
Okay.
Oh. And I haven't done anything to either
one
of them.
Okay. I've never said what they just said to you. Okay, so I'll get that right down in the open. I've never said to anybody that a loose timing chain is going to cause what you describe.
Okay.
It appears you have some kind of an air-fuel mixture problem.
Okay.
So with the loaded engine, the motor's running a little rough, so it may have too much fuel or too much air. When you kick it into neutral, you take the load away from the engine, and it smooths out. It could also be that the base timing, somebody's messed with the screw on the base timing. And so there are three things that have to synchronize. The idle air control motor, which is, for a fuel-injected motor, we add air to raise the idle. There's no such thing as an idle screw. So if you want to go higher in an idle, you add air. If you want to shut the idle and bring the idle down, you subtract air. So that's why it's called the idle air control motor. Then on top of that, you got throttle blades and a throttle position sensor, and you have to synchronize all three of those.
Sweet.
So what part of town do you live in?
East Mesa.
Okay. I want you to call Thompson's first and ask them if they
want to. I know where they are.
All right. Ask them if they want to try this. But I'm going to tell you this right now. We can fix this. And I want to tell you why.
Okay.
I got a kid named Eddie Caruso that works for me that's been with us for 28 years. He wears Ford underwear.
Okay.
And he's always mad at me because I'm ripping on people with Fords. But the kid has the most amazing capability on Fords than anything I've ever seen. He has history and a hard drive that has more Ford information than anybody in the whole wide world. And if you want, I'll save you a little bit of money by you pulling the doghouse off before it gets here.
Okay.
That'll save you some money. So you pull the doghouse off. Eddie's going to come in. He's going to plug his scanner in there, and he's going to go, oh, mass airflow sensor is dirty. Or he's going to say, I need to bring the TPS up a little bit. Or he's going to say, I got a vacuum leak over here at the EGR valve. I don't know, but I know he can find and fix your problem.
The problem is consistent. It happens all the time, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
that's good.
That's going to be easy then.
And I'm quite sure. Now, you're going to have, at the front counter, they're going to tell them you're going to have between $85 and $125 worth of diagnostic fee. If we surpass the $125, we're going to let you know.
Okay.
I want to tell you there's about a 30% chance that this is going to be $100 to find it and $6 to fix it.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm not saying that's the way it is all the time. I'm just saying that's the best you can hope for.
Right.
So call us up. Tell them here are two things. I want to come in, and I want to wait. And then that way they will schedule Eddie around that.
Okay.
And not on a Monday or Friday. Andy's giving me a rolling eyes kinds of things. Not on a Monday or Friday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff is hard to, you know, while they wait to find, fix, all that. If it's something simple, then, you know, it's going to be no problem. But.
Hey, all right. This is and what's the phone number?
480-598 1234, and that 1234 is for some of the older guys.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Good luck to you. Thank you, Jeff. Hutch, you're up next. Hutch, how can I help you?
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks for the program. And for the young lady who called a while ago about her Kia.
Yes.
Definitely Kurtz.
Okay.
I went to Kurtz a couple of years ago, I think, and the next day, I mean, the service is outstanding, number one. And the next day, his wife, I believe it's his wife, brought by the house like an apple crumb cake or some kind of thing.
Is that amazing?
Completely
I know.
Shocked.
Yeah.
I want to
never
you.
Had that.
Hutch. Kurt and
if you like cake, go to Kurt.
That's their new promo. Yeah, forget the
that's
cars.
It.
He does that on the first time, and her her job is to say, "I hope we made you happy, and this is thanking you for trust us." This is something we did in the 60s and the
70s. Yeah, it's awesome.
But
yeah.
it's and Kurt is from the 60s and the 70s, like I
right,
am.
Right, right, right.
So thank you for that. You know what I'm going to do? I taped the show because the girls always say I said something that I didn't. But I'm going to cut this part out and send it to Kurt. And I want to thank you for calling and saying something nice about the guys that are on my list. Okay?
And tell him to feel free to use that as a logo.
That's a great idea.
Thank you very much, Hutch. Thank you very much. Chris, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. If I were by myself, I'd be better. But I've been saddled with a couple of ladies.
Be careful what you say.
Yeah, I know. He hasn't learned yet. Yep.
Hey, Mark. I've got a 06 Avalanche, and just recently, within the last 6 months, I had to change the knock sensors because I had a check engine light on.
Okay.
And so I replaced both of those while I was there. But it's coming to the point now where when I drive down the road, and it's usually around, you know, just starting out, 1,000, 1,500 RPMs, I can hear my valves just, like, rattling. It's not like dieseling, but I can just hear them rattling as I go down the road. And it sometimes, even if I'm parked and I just turn the steering wheel just a little bit,
okay.
I put a little load on the engine, and then they just start rattling. I'm just wondering if you have any idea what that might be.
Okay, well, you're wrong about the valves. It's going to be probably a broken power steering bracket because you just gave me the words that I wanted to hear, that when you turn the steering wheel back and forth, and that's probably related to your knock sensor. Because the knock sensor thinks the engine's pinging when in reality you have an exhaust leak, you've got a bad harmonic balancer, you got a bad alternator bracket, bad broken air conditioning bracket, alternator bracket, whatever. So it's important to go find the noise. And when you find the noise, then you can fix the noise, which means the knock sensors will shut the heck up. But by replacing the knock sensors, you probably just killed the messenger. So the messenger was the knock sensors. Really and truly, pop the hood, get somebody to get in there, put it in driver park, have them turn that steering wheel left and right, get yourself a long screwdriver that's about 2 feet long, and start touching stuff. When you touch what's loose or broken, you'll feel it, and then you'll know what to do. Now, another thing you can do is take a long piece of 3/4-inch heater hose, about 5 feet, and just start waving that around the motor, stick it in your ear, wave it around the motor, and see if you can get close to the noise. But the power steering would have nothing to do with valve clatter.
No, I understand that. If even if I'm just driving down the road, and I live kind of on a place that has a lot of walls,
yes.
You know, as I drive down the road, and if I just touch on the gas just a little bit, I hear a clank, 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 clank.
Okay,
just
that won't be hard to find. That really, and here's the technology that we actually have, but we never use it. We can put these sensors all over the underside of your car. One guy drives. The other guy has a television screen. He's got all the sensors there, and one of them's going to tell him which corner or which side or where on the car the sensor or where the noise is coming from. But, frankly, a good guy won't need to do that. What part of town do you live in?
I live in Fountain Hills.
Okay. You're going to have to come. I want to tell you, that's an area that I don't have covered. I'm sorry, I have tried. But I'll tell you what's wrong up in Fountain Hills is nobody has 5 years. Those places change hands every day. So you're going to have to come south. And if you're going to come south, you can either go to Air Park Auto, which is over at Hayden and Raintree.
Yep.
And that's a good place. And I think it's you make the appointment and you say, I got an engine noise that I can make happen. And I would like to just stop by at the appropriate time. And I'd like you guys to tell me what the noise is.
Okay.
All righty.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you. All righty. Go ahead. Give me your best shot. What are you complaining about?
How many
about?
Minutes do we have?
Yeah, Andy, you go first.
We don't
first.
Have enough time.
2.5 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Randy.
I don't have any complaints.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, maybe we could just wish all the dads Happy Father's Day out there and
tell
them to have a good day tomorrow.
That'd be fine.
We'll give you your lashings later.
I want them publicly right now.
2 minutes.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming because it's a whole lot of fun than me sitting here in the studio for 2 hours all by myself.
Yeah.
I don't get, no, what the heck is this? What's it called?
It's a vanilla bean frappuccino from
Starbucks. I want to tell you something. There isn't a cowboy in the world that would hold a glass from Starbucks, and you snuck that in because you wrapped a towel around it, and you gave it to me, and it was pretty good, but what is that place called? Starbucks?
Oh, God. It's gone, folks. The frappuccino is gone.
Yeah. Here's the problem with Starbucks. In Payson.
Yes.
They already have a Starbucks in Bash's and in Safeway, which is the two grocery stores we have. Now they're talking about putting a Starbucks in the building that Arby's is going to be moving to.
No.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Three Starbucks in
Payson.
That's
coming from a girl who gets Starbucks almost daily.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. How many times in your whole lives have you ever got something, I've asked you to get me something from Starbucks? I don't even know what they have there. I can't read their menu.
Yeah.
They got frappuccinos and chicachitas.
You can just walk in and say, like, some
I want
coffee. Black coffee.
That's a lie.
No, it's not a lie.
Yes, it's a lie.
I have gone
in there and said, I want some black truck driver coffee, and they say, we don't have any.
I swear to God. Right, Starbucks. You better try the one that they're opening at by Arby's.
You know what? You can do whatever you want. I swear to God, I have gone in and said, can I have a cup of truck driver black coffee?
Well, they probably said, do you want light roast, mild roast, or dark roast? And you got all flustered and walked out.
That's not true. I would have said medium or light. I would have said that. I don't want engine oil in my coffee.
Or they didn't know what truck driver coffee was, and they said...
That's the difference between you two Scottsdale birds and this old cowboy.
First of all, you said you didn't know what Starbucks was, and now you've been in there asking that for was, truck driver
that
coffee.
Was 100 years ago. All right, hey, 4 seconds. Thank you very much. Happy Father's Day to everybody. We'll see you next Saturday right here on KKMT.